No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. Along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, we are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Keith is in the studio. Ed is on remote at Flight Training Professionals. Also, we are joined by Dennis via the web up in, Minnetonka? Or where the hell are you again, Dennis?
I'm up in Minneapolis area.
Okay, that's close enough. Near Lake Minnetonka. Am I right?
Yep. That is correct.
Okay, so we'll get to Dennis in just a bit, but I got to talk to Keith first, because Keith just got back from running a flight up to Atlanta, right?
Yep. Yesterday.
And I wasn't planning on this, but, you know, next thing you know, I get all these flight plans in my inbox on my email through 4Flight, and I'm like, hey, is he, laying a breadcrumb because he's been hijacked or something, and he wants me to know? What the heck happened there? Because I was CC'd on all your flight plans, which I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to make sure, was I supposed to do something important with that, or did I delete it, and that's what I was supposed to do?
You deleted it, and so I ended up having to call Ed instead. I figured I could count on you, Greg, but,
yeah,
you know, it didn't work.
Yeah, I just figured it was spam. You were attacked by a virus or something, but no, it was. But I saw
it all came right directly to your email. Correct,
it did. So what does that mean?
So why would 4Flight be spamming you?
Well, it wasn't 4. It came from your email address. I mean, I don't know where it came from. I just saw your name on it.
4Flight,
and I was like, why is he? He thinks I'm going to actually save him if he gets into trouble. I'm probably the last person.
Yeah, no, that'd be the last person I would expect to save me.
Yeah, I mean, are you supposed to do that on your flight plan? When you file your flight plan, put up like an emergency contact. I remember doing that on my forms, Air Ed.
Yeah, you're supposed to do that. And 4Flight's got that built into it.
And for some reason, in Keith's system, I'm his backup. Something seriously wrong. You filled something out wrong.
That's really not the way it is. The real way it is just simply the fact that the account is under Greg@JustPlaneRadio.com.
Ah, okay. So
that is the base email for the account.
Well, it's probably good that I know where you are, because God knows if, you know, we have to do the show and I have to fly solo and I don't know where Keith is. I gotta track down Ed. I mean, I always know where Ed is, which is at the flight school where he is today. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I guess it's a way for me to keep tabs on you. Is that
there
fair?
There you go.
Yeah.
See, you don't need one of those GPS things. You just got that.
I just got your email tracking breadcrumb thing from 4Flight.
That's
yeah.
Right.
You know, the thing is, though, I did get an email. One of them said that your flight has been terminated or you can't do this or whatever.
Oh, yeah. There was an email alert that said that the flight plan that I filed,
yeah,
the route was not available.
Right. So, and then I think, what am I supposed to do?
They lied.
Oh, they lied?
Yeah.
You got the same.
That's exactly the route that I got. And actually even better than what I filed. So,
well, I'm sure this won't make you feel any better, but when I got that notice, I was like, screw it. I just deleted it. He'll figure it out.
Guess what? I did the same thing.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, what delayed you back? I mean, was it the weather? Because we got some ugly weather in Orlando when you were trying to get back, I think. Was that it or something else?
No, nothing delayed me coming back.
No?
You know, I got back right on time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you get back before the storms hit in the afternoon?
No. No, I got back about 8 o'clock last night.
So you got in after the storms?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know they ever let up.
Yeah, we had to do a little bit of deviating around storms coming back in, and had initially started out on the ILS to get back into executive, but by the time I got just inside the outer marker, then I was able to go visual
back
up to the airport.
And you were able to poke through a hole and
yep,
land accordingly.
And land, yep.
All right, so that worked very smoothly then,
it
even
did.
Though I got that email said that... you can't run this route.
So, so now I know for sure, Ed, that we can't count on Greg.
Yeah. Well, or
it was a test, and you know, he failed the test.
I've known it for how many years already? I already figured that out.
Yeah, but you know, I always try and give the benefit of the doubt.
Well,
know that.
Well, now
yeah,
that
you're
I
much
know,
nicer guy than I am.
Well, now that I know, should I just take the emails and forward them to Ed? Maybe I should do that.
No, because Ed won't care about them.
I'll delete them. I'll delete them too. Wow.
See, I've learned from the best. That's probably why I did what I did. Is because you know I knew they don't care, and just delete it. But I don't know. I in one sense, I guess I feel honored that you care enough to let me know.
Means, well, there you go.
Even though it was just by default and it was an accident. Okay.
I really had no idea that you were
getting I know. That's what I mean. I was trying to put a positive spin on it, but obviously that was a lost cause. All right. So Dennis up there in Minnesota, you know, or Minneapolis. Yeah. And your travel plans have not gone as smoothly as Keith's. Am I right?
No, I certainly wish I would have just flown my own airplane in, despite company policy.
Yes, well, don't we all? Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely cheaper to take an airline. But at the end of the day, what's my time worth? It was just a disaster. Simple trip to Round Rock, Texas from Minneapolis. Had my flight was delayed coming out of Minneapolis, so they actually had to rebook me on another carrier to get me there on Sunday. And coming back home on Friday night, because of those big storms out over Houston, it was really messing up United Airlines. They had one flight was canceled. They put you on a standby flight. I finally got off the ground 3.5 hours after I should have got on my flight, then spent 3 hours on the ground at Houston waiting for a gate. They had nowhere to put us. We were just sitting on a taxiway for 3 hours.
What?
They finally, yeah, it was crazy. The airport was so backed up. My connecting flight, we found out later, was still on the ramp in front of us and still had not yet gotten a gate. And it arrived at 8:30 at night. We touched down at 9 o'clock and we're still waiting for a gate. They finally put us into the old Continental International gates. I think it's the D Concourse. They put us in there at midnight. It took them an hour, and they could not get the jetway down low enough to open up the door on a 737. So here, after sitting an additional hour, so now up to 4 hours on the ramp, they finally had to push us back and taxi us around to the other side of the terminal to a different gate. And by this time, my connecting flight had just left. Yeah. So now I had the pleasure of sleeping in the chairs at Houston, trying to get any sort of customer service out of it. There was nobody around to answer any questions. It was just miserable.
Wow.
Finally got a flight out at 10:30 the next morning and got home at 2 in the afternoon.
Hmm. Now, so this was
time
all weather-related.
Go by air.
Time yeah, it was right.
That's so true. But here's the sad part. You know, yeah. There was two, you know, very large low pressures that were contributing to all of this. That's what was causing some of the big lightning storms over Houston. Mm-hmm. However, over the Round Rock, Texas and San Antonio areas, everything was fine. And it was creating a very nice northbound airflow. So my flight plan for the Cardinal was actually 5 hours and 48 minutes or something like that. Almost nonstop. I'm sure I would have had to land like in Oklahoma City or something just for a bio break and, you know, top off the fuel. But I could have been home if I would have left at 3 p.m. like my scheduled flight was. I'd have been home by about 10, 11 o'clock that night.
Yeah. By the way, a bio break? I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Well, there's fuel bladders yeah. and there's other bladders.
Okay.
Well, which one's the limiting factor?
That was an interesting way to put it. I've just never heard that term before. That's another aviation term that has not popped up on my radar until today, but I appreciate that update. I think I can figure
correct.
Out what you're referring to. So, yeah. But anyway, I thought, you know, isn't there some kind of passenger bill of rights? I thought on commercial airlines they had this thing, like if it was over a certain hour and you're
four
on the
hours.
Runway. It's 4 hours.
Well,
so they
it's
just
actually
barely?
3 hours.
Yeah.
They have to allow you to deplane the aircraft within 3 hours. And I was reminded of this because I was actually surrounded by about four or five deadheading United pilots that were all heading back to Houston.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of tossing information back and forth. I had my Garmin app open so I could see where we were on the ramp. And like, hey, guys, this isn't looking good. They're heading us to the end of a taxiway over to the penalty box here. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. And we started talking back and forth, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start heading us to a gate, and I realized that it's like, okay, we're getting close to that 3-hour mark.
Yeah.
They must be trying to get us off, but then another hour, It was crazy.
Well, what happens in a case like that? Because you guys never deplaned. You just pulled up the gate, right? So you went over the three-hour limit. Have you gotten an email from United saying, well, okay, we're going to give you like a billion points or something, or no, you're out of luck because it was weather?
Here's what I'm finding out from United. Customer service is not in their vocabulary. You could not find a gate agent. The lines for the few customer service windows they had open were stretching, I'm saying, hundreds of people deep in the concourse. I mean, I've never seen lines that long. If I would have got in line, I probably would not have gotten a flight out in the morning because I would have still been waiting in line to talk to somebody to get rebooked. It was just ridiculous.
Okay, so there's no hope for you. And basically, you know, this last 5-minute tirade from Dennis is another excuse why you should become a private pilot. You can avoid TSA, you can avoid all this, and just fly yourself and go at your own leisurely pace and be on time like Keith was. And that's what this show is all about. We'll get back to it next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Level her off. Good job.
You hear that? Flawless. It makes sense. This is second nature. I've logged a lot of remote control hours. Gus, what would you say is harder, RC or the real thing?
The real thing.
Tough call.
I'm flying across the
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And Dennis is helping us out today from Minnesota. And, yeah, he got stuck in, well, once again, where was it? Houston? That's where you got delayed?
Yeah, Houston Intercontinental Airport. I had the privilege of sleeping in a chair with my head up against one of their columns in there for a couple hours. Yeah, it was not fun.
So you're sleeping at the Houston Airport Hostel. And,
yes.
Living it up big time. But once again, so your flight was how long before you got delayed at the ramp there in Houston? How long?
Well, the flight was only supposed to have been 30 minutes elapsed time from Round Rock or Austin, Texas to Houston. It's a 30-minute flight.
Okay.
But we had my original flight was canceled. I was put on a standby onto a flight that was supposed to have left like 3 hours before mine, mm-hmm. and they were finally pushing that out. It was just, you know, just complete chaos in United's system. And I don't have any fault with the airline for the weather delays.
Yeah.
My fault with them started once we were on the ramp over 2 hours. They're supposed to be providing you, you know, snacks and beverages and stuff while you're stuck in the cabin. And they didn't. The flight attendants didn't start coming down the aisle with a bag of cookies until, you know, well after 2.5 hours. They Wow. finally got the drink cart out and actually had to quit serving halfway through because we had hit the 3 hour mark and they finally were putting us into that gate that they couldn't open. And then once we're at the gate, obviously they're not passing out any more beverages. So we sat there another hour, just stranded. By now it's, you know, 1 a.m. We've been on a plane since 6 p.m. It's just ridiculous.
Now, Keith, you have plenty experience being a commercial pilot.
Yes.
And captain and that kind of thing. So you know that when they make those announcements from the cockpit and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry we are delayed here at the ramp for 5 minutes. We should be clear to go. In just a minute. And then an hour later, you know, you're still sitting there and he's saying the same damn thing. Does the pilot know? And is he kind of holding back sometimes, or it just depends on the guy or what?
The pilot does not know.
He has no clue. So he does really think it's, oh, we're going to get a, they're saying it's going to be a 10-minute delay, so we should be good to go in about 10 minutes. And then, you know, 2 hours later, really?
The only thing that the pilot can go on is what he's told
yeah.
from the ground agents.
Yeah.
And the ground agents will, you know, they...
Lie. They're the liars.
Well, they're the ones that, you know, they have a plan,
mm-hmm.
but when they have a major weather delay like that, they've got flights, you know, they think a gate's going to open up. And so that's why the flight attendants can't get up and serve you, because they can't get the carts out and all that other kind of stuff, because it's now, once they do start to move to taxi,
yeah,
they got to go. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they lose their spot. And so, you know, the ground operations thinks that a gate's going to open up and, you know, an aircraft is going to push back and you'll be able to slide into that slot. Well, something happens, you know, an airplane breaks or the ramp shuts down, they can't put it there, so now it's, so the pilots don't know, they're just mm-hmm. going by what they're told.
Okay, so it's not the pilot's fault, or that he's not the guy you should get upset with, but who can you get upset with? I guess that's why they came up with this passenger bill of rights thing.
Well, you really can't get upset with anybody, really, because it's really not anybody's fault. You know, I mean, it's just, you've got a weather delay that airlines move very simply, you know, one gate opens up, the next airplane is scheduled to come into that gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get a weather delay, you get a couple of diversions in there that take a couple extra gates, everything just goes downhill very, very rapidly.
Well, I understand that, but that was why the Passenger Bill of Rights was passed, I thought. So when it goes over a certain time...
The Passenger Bill of Rights was passed because a bunch of people were complaining.
Yeah.
And so that was passed by Congress to try and... stop
force.
People from complaining and to force the airlines to do something.
To deal with it.
But sometimes, just,
yeah.
Sometimes it's just out of their control.
Well, I mean, that is kind of an act of God thing that Dennis is dealing with. But because of the Passenger Bill of Rights, is that what it is? After 2 or 3 hours on the taxiway, Dennis, you're supposed to be served food or some crap like that?
Right.
Yeah, and, so that was part of the rules. They have to provide you with, you know, with
something.
Snacks or something and
yeah.
some beverages when you're trapped that long in the airplane. And there's also, you know, it's a stick and a carrot model, too. I mean, the airlines are now saying, hey, we can't just overschedule and just, you know, let people sit. We have to make contingency plans for these types of things. And I don't pretend to know how to run an international airport, but I would think that there's got to be some way that they could, you know, essentially hot rack, you know, a gate where you pull an airplane in, just get the passengers off, push that jet out into a parking area.
Yeah.
The baggage handlers can go out there and get that, because now you've at least got the people off into the terminal and you're not tying up that gate. I know that they normally want to get the airplane in, get the people off, and then put the people that are supposed to take that same plane back out to the next one. But at this point, they've got so many people connecting and going through that if they could get them in, the people that were destined to Houston could just get out of the terminal and out of the way,
mm-hmm.
and they could focus on doing that. And
let me off this damn airplane!
Yeah, but exactly. That becomes a logistical nightmare, though, because you got airplanes all over the ramp, and trying to get airplanes, airplanes are not the easiest thing to move. It's like a traffic jam in California.
You know, oh, I understand. You know, but they had done that exact same thing in Austin. The airplane that we were supposed to fly into Houston, it was a 737. They actually pushed us off the gate so that they could put a CRJ in to get people from Austin to Denver. then they went and pushed our airplane over to some other gate. So we had like 3-4 different gate changes, depending, you know, while they were trying to figure out where to load us up to get over to Houston.
Much smaller airport.
I agree. Yeah, that it does make it a little bit simpler.
Man, Keith is like defending the airlines.
No, not defending the airlines. I'm just trying to tell you the way it is. I mean, when you start getting into airports like Houston and Atlanta, Kennedy, you know, those big operations like that, it just gets ridiculous sometimes. I mean, I've been there, and it's just as agonizing for the pilots as or the flight crew as it is for the passengers.
Yeah,
you know, was it a good thing to consolidate all of these airlines? I mean, we used to have Continental with its hub and United with its hubs. Now you've merged into this mega airline, and everything gets funneled through a couple small choke points. You have one bad weather incident like this, and the entire system's in chaos.
Well, maybe. I don't know. That who knows what the real problem is? That could be a contributing factor. I mean, who knows? But it is aggravating to think that you have to set, you're literally just a few hundred yards from the place you want to be, and you got to sit there for 2 hours? Oh, I'd be going insane.
Two hours would have been great. It was 4.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been on delays like that probably a half hour to an hour, and that was driving me insane as it was, but I can't imagine going to that extreme. And once again, I mean, it's still fresh from your travel, so you haven't reached out to the airline to find out if they're going to give you any kind of special consideration or compensation for your troubles or what, Dennis? Well,
I did try to talk to a gate agent, to try to talk to the station.
Yeah, you're going to have to go right to the top after. That's what I'm saying. Have you emailed anyone yet?
Well, and that's exactly what they said to do. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do to help you. This was a common theme, by the way.
Yeah.
The only recourse you have is to file a complaint on their website.
Yeah, well, that's what you got to do. I've done that before, and it's worked a few times. So reach out, raise some hell, and get your points. That's the best you can do, it sounds like to me. Coming up, how Angry Birds, the app, might be coming to an airport near you.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, and Dennis from Minnesota helping us out here on the big show today. All right, so how Angry Birds are solving the bird strike issue for a lot of airports across the country. I don't know, does this apply to Orlando Executive, Ed? Are we having bird issues right now or no?
Oh, there are always bird issues here. I mean, we're in Florida and we got lakes on either side of the runway.
Right.
We got birds, lots of them.
So I don't know if this was inspired by that Angry Birds app and now the movie that was just released. But evidently, one way to get birds to avoid airports like seagulls here in Florida will have a tendency to, you know, create some issues at some of the airports on the coast. They're bringing in hawks to, you know, birds of prey to come in and, like, I don't know if they're training them. Do you know? Are they training them to do something or just bringing them over and say, hey, free food? And just, like, setting them up around the perimeter of the airport or something. Do you have any idea what's going on with this, Keith, or what?
I really don't.
You don't have any idea? It sounds cool, though. But, and you know, I mean, if it works like the app, I mean, I could see.
Birds that are actually trained to be for hunting purposes, you know, they the handler lets them go, they go out, they take them out. Well, it doesn't take too long for the flocks in the area to realize that that's not a good place to be when you've got falcons that are, you know, ready and looking for you for a snack.
So it's like Sic'em Fido, and you know, he sends off the bird after. Have you seen anything like that at Orlando Executive?
No, I haven't seen anything like that, but we probably could use it.
That would be kind of cool.
I think the government just needs to make all the birds register to fly.
Register the birds, put them in a database?
Yeah. Kind of like the drones. Everybody's got to register if you're going to fly around airplanes.
There's bird-shaped drones, so maybe that might be a solution.
I'm surprised some government official hasn't come up with that idea yet.
Well, I don't know if this whole idea of the Falcons was a government idea.
Let's ask Sully if he's a fan of that idea.
Maybe he would be.
Hey.
I mean, birds created an issue for him.
Yeah, but he became famous because he put it down.
Well, true. I don't know.
So,
hey, you know,
maybe not.
When they're getting their ideas from a movie or an app, you know, we're in trouble.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I ain't never been in no airplane. This thing looked like a toy come out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, my truck weighs more than this airplane does. For all I know, he hits a Blue Jay, he's going down.
You can be a blackbird on a country street, hiding from the world with the broken wing, but you better believe you're gonna fly with me. You're gonna fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Dennis from Minnesota's helped us out today. He's been flying a little bit. Well, no, he's been sitting in our runway. So glad I'm not him for once. Because usually he calls up and he said, hey, I just got another certification. What's your problem, loser? And so today feels a little better for me, maybe. But then again, this might turn into the segment where it's time to bust Greg's balls once again because he hadn't got his flight certificate. Am I right there, Dennis?
Yeah, exactly. So the last time we met, you were supposed to get your private pilot written scheduled so that you
Correct.
Can get it done before the change to the aircraft certification standards, which takes place, I think, on the 13th of June.
Yeah.
So...
am I going to make the deadline? No.
Yes.
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Well, because I want to be an even better pilot. I want to push myself even farther than the average schmo and go through the new process or the new testing thing. I've already done the old one. It just expired. Uh-huh. And
so you're going to be the highest time private pilot going for his check ride, I think, on record.
Well, hey, if that makes it gets me in the Guinness book, then God bless me. You know, that's one goal I can set for myself.
Not exactly a best goal to set.
Well, but. Hey, it's a record nonetheless. But anyway, I'm still working on it. But you know, they are changing the flight test or written test, which I did a couple of years ago, but expired, and I got to do it again. And if I were to beat the deadline here by the 13th, and I'm not going to because I got some travel to Cuba I got to do, and this kind of popped up or jumped up on me at the last minute. I'm like, oh man. And but more I thought about it, the more I thought, hey, this will be better for Just Plain Radio if I'm one of the first people to go through the new system and I sacrifice my own personal, you know.
Oh, thing. Yeah, Greg, it's all about everybody else, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Well, these are the sacrifices people listening don't realize that I'm willing to make. For your better.
Well, at the pace you're going, everyone else is going to have seen this before you have a chance to talk about it.
Well, still, I'll talk about it. So, yeah, I'm trying to put the best possible spin I could on this.
I'm not trying to bust your chops, Greg,
no,
but I would love to see you get that private ticket.
Well, I do too. I want to get it. I'm going to get it. It's going to happen. You know, I just can't get it in time for this deadline for the new test. So, I mean, Ed, you in particular, have you heard any rumblings about how they're going to change it with the questions or what?
Oh, it's going to be a completely new database. And all the questions are supposedly been changed. They only releasing 60 sample questions. So we've not been able to see the database for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And they've been changing questions along the route, but basically we've been told that this is a completely new database, and that it's going to be a test of people's true knowledge, because we're not going to be able to see the questions and the answers and then figure out what the right answer is and just memorize questions and answers.
Right, which is what I did not want to do because, you know, at this point, being that I've went through it once and it's been a while, I would probably have to go back and do a lot of that type of memorization as opposed to actually knowing the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't get tripped up. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can still learn that way, or it refreshes you in my play, in my sense.
Yeah.
It, or in my case, it definitely would work. But I would rather just go in and know the answer.
Well, here's the problem, and it's a big unknown for us in the industry right now. There's a whole industry around test prep, the GLIME books, the ASA books, then there's online prep like Shepherd Air.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to get a hold of some of those entities and see how they're planning to deal with this change and what products they're going to be able to offer us to help better prepare people for it. There's also been a lot of discussion about some of the 60 sample questions that they put out. There was a big discussion on a Facebook page that I belong to about the validity of some of the questions. They gave an example of a question that they didn't even put the right answer down. So here we go again. We're going with the most right answer, not the absolute right answer. And the problem is, it was a situation where it would have the scenario they gave would have somebody flying within 6 miles of a thunderstorm, and the rule of thumb is 20 miles. And
yeah.
So if a person takes that as, well, it was on the FAA written test, it must be okay to do, because the test doesn't just test, it also teaches.
Right.
And so there's a lot going on out in the industry about that right now. That's why I'd like to see. I'm trying to reach out to some of these other vendors out there to see what they're doing in an effort to help prepare our customers. But also, once I get a hold of them, we'll try to get it shared here on Just Plain Radio.
But you got to think about it. You take just that one question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have somebody going into that test having studied and learned the answer to that question, which is 20 miles?
Yeah.
Or going into there and guessing that it might be 6 miles? And, I mean, when you're talking about, especially the private, you got the laws of primacy. So what they first learn is what they're going to remember most.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they get out there and they get their instrument rating. Oh, the private written said, "Yo, you can go 6 miles from a thunderstorm."
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's an awful lot of damage that can happen within 6 miles of a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
So once again, the FAA is just screwing things up.
Hmm. Well, maybe they'll get that feedback and they'll take that question out, you think? You're saying there's only
that's only one of the questions that we have no idea what the other questions are.
There are 800 questions, and we've seen 60.
Right.
So we have no idea what's right or what's good or not. And this was a problem years ago with the FAA test, and the reason why we could no longer see the actual test questions is too many people were pointing out errors in the questions and the answers. And so the FAA solution to that was, don't let anybody see the questions.
Really? That's why that was?
Yep.
It wasn't the FAA was saying, well, too many people are just memorizing the answers and they were hiding
behind that, but we were catching them left and right on problems with the questions. So their solution was, well, we'll just take the questions away from you so you can't point out what's right or wrong.
Hmm. Well, it is a governmental agency, so that would make sense, I guess, in that sense. But what about, who's coming up with the actual questions in the FAA? Do you have any idea?
There's a group of people from within the FAA and industry that the same or similar group that developed the ACS. In fact, one of our FAA inspectors from the Orlando FISDO is on that committee making up questions. I know a handful of the people that were on that committee. So some of them are good questions. Others, this one in particular says they didn't completely fix the problems that were there, that were going to have some of the same problems.
Yeah. I mean,
so it was made somewhat by industry or people out here in the field supposedly using the system.
Okay. But was it really necessary to totally gut the whole thing? I mean, was it that bad before? That they had to chuck the whole 800 questions that they had before? I mean, I can understand some of them might be outdated or they want to throw in some new ones, but why wouldn't you just migrate that in on a slow pace as opposed to just totally starting from scratch, which is what it sounds like they're doing?
I'm sure they used some of those as a basis,
yeah.
But the bottom line is we don't know. They won't tell us. what they did.
What's up with that? Why are they not telling us? What is this, like the UFO files or something, Keith?
Yeah, don't get me started today.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, well, the reason they're doing it, in their mind, they're taking the high road of you shouldn't be able to memorize the questions. You should know the material well enough to be able to answer any question on it, which I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But now we're going to make the private pilot test as hard as the ATP, and that's what I what is really going to happen here is they're going to make it more difficult to become a private pilot, which is the entry level. And there, I believe, and I have some examiners, and one of the examiners I'm thinking of actually was on this same committee. You know, it's like when that person gives an exam, it's like, are you giving an ATP test or are you giving a private pilot test? Because it sure sounds like the questions that are being asked are ATP level questions.
Yes.
And, they're not differentiating between entry level and experience.
I'm hoping this isn't on the test, but ATP stands for
Airline Transport Pilot.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm just making sure everyone knows just in case it pops up on the new test for private pilots. You are welcome. And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Decompression sickness, DCS, diver's disease, the bends. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The simple joys of walking, dancing, and swimming can be taken from you by paralyzing bends after a dive. Your risk is affected by dive depth, time and ascent rate, your body composition, and health. You can reduce your risk by taking care of your health and diving conservatively within the limits of your dive training. Don't let your fear of the bends keep you out of the water, but be cautious. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And Dennis from Minnesota helping us out today. All right, so the written test is changing June 13th, totally new test. So if you studied for it under the old system, you might be up for a surprise if you walk in there for your test and go, wait a minute, these aren't the questions and answers that I memorized. But actually, you should know them. You should really know the answers. And that's the approach I'm going to take and just go for the new system. I don't know if I'll have any way to study for that other than just knowing all the stuff. Is there anybody claiming they have the new system
Nobody's saying anything because it was announced very short notice. So that we have heard nothing from any of the testing facilities.
Yeah. And has anybody been complaining that it's broken, that the written test system that has been in place for the last 20 years or more, probably?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody has, because they are not by any means valid questions. And so what we've wanted is take out the stuff that doesn't apply, leave the stuff that does.
Yeah.
But they decided just to basically
from
reboot and start over. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see how it unfolds, I guess. This is not at a good time because, as you were saying, Ed, as a flight training professional like yourself, this makes it more difficult for folks to get into being a private pilot, and just one more roadblock of, you know, medical certificates and things, and all these things that make it more difficult to get your private pilot certificate has a tendency to slow down the process. And
yeah,
right now there's all these articles coming out, the baby boomers are getting ready to retire, and they think there's going to be, well, they're predicting a major vacuum of pilots being, you know, retiring and creating this vacuum of not enough people to fill these positions, which will lead to more delays, like Dennis was talking about earlier in the show. So this is not a good thing. Overall, we need to make it not necessarily unsafe. You don't want to make it unsafe, but you want to still make it easy for people to get into aviation. And if they want to pursue a path into commercial aviation, that should be there, I guess, right?
Yeah,
so I got it right.
Exactly.
We need to promote,
for once.
We need to promote aviation as a viable career pursuit.
Yeah.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
I have a 17-year-old son right now who is, you know, very interested in being a pilot. But there's a lot of uncertainty in that right now. You know, are the jobs going to be there? They claim they are. What's the pay going to look like? How much, you know, training effort and cost is there to get to it? I mean, right now it's you're looking at probably conservatively over $100,000 to get through a 4-year degree flight program. And, you know, when they start changing up the tests and making the barriers to even the entry level much more difficult, is anybody going to want to go do that?
Hmm. It's still a pretty cool gig, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And there are people that will always want to do it, and there will be people that always have passion. There's a bigger issue of why aren't people your son's age, why aren't more of them wanting to do it? And why aren't we getting more of those people interested in doing it? That's actually, I think, a real big issue, too. But, you know, I flip it to the other side. A big part of our business is the business and professional person who wants to learn to fly, buy an airplane, and avoid the hassles that Dennis experienced in the airline side of things. You know, so I look at those guys and they're going to look at this and say, oh, no, this is not worth it. I don't have the time to do that. I don't want to put that much effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it also provides a barrier to them. So that's going to affect not only the flight training industry, but it's going to affect the aircraft sales industry, Cessna aircraft, Cirrus aircraft, et cetera, because these people who would come in and buy airplanes and then use the services, use the maintenance facilities, use the avionics facilities, you know, it can impact the entire industry.
Sure.
And I
think that, you know, guys like Dennis's son, there's no need for him to mm-hmm. go get a 4-year degree before he goes into the airlines. I think what he needs to do, you can get your certificates and ratings at a lot cheaper rate by not going through a 4-year degree program. You can probably do it for $58,000 to $63,000. And then once you get yourself a job flying these cargo at night or whatever it is to build your flight time up to get to the airlines,
mm-hmm.
then get your degree online. You got plenty of time on overnights and things like that you can do and study and get your degree online.
So
you're not getting rid of it, but you know these universities like Embry-Riddle and UND, it's just, I mean, they're killing the industry. They got great products,
yeah,
but the cost is just killing the industry.
It's really it's that high. It's like 50 to 60 grand.
There are some kids that are coming out of Embry-Riddle mm-hmm. and UND,
yeah,
with almost $200,000 in loans.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the 58 to 60 that Keith's talking about is if you're going from zero through commercial CFI at a place like ours.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you could be going to a two-year college while you're doing your flight training and then finish the 4 years degrees, part of your degree off while you're flight instructing, because you're not going to get the airline job till you have the 1,500 hours of flight experience. So you might as well do the degree while you're being a flight instructor.
Well, there
Great
you go.
Part-time job.
So, Dennis, tell Austin to drop out and come to Orlando, and I don't know if that's going to go over well with him. But
actually, I think he'd actually be very interested in going
to Orlando. I bet he would. He could work some diving in on some of his off time down here, and
absolutely,
and throw calculus out the window. Yeah, well,
there you go.
Airlines, trust me, airlines don't care today whether or not you get a degree or not.
Are you guys 141 or just doing 61?
We're just 61.
Just part 61.
Okay. So the advantage for a part 141 school is that they lower that flight hour requirement down.
Actually, no, it's not a part 141 school, Dennis. It's a 4-year university program. Of which they've done 60 hours in. It has nothing to do with 141-61.
Okay, and you can look that up on Google, because I have no idea what the hell that means. But we're out of time, thank God. But till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.